Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, and every week I'm joined by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schultheis. Coach, busy weekend of sports here once again. College basketball tipping off, high school football sectionals. We got so much to talk about, 2 hours. We're going to talk fast today, I think. And I forgot to take you off mute. Sorry.
There's so much going on, Joe. I mean, you're right. It's Football Friday. Championship Friday is what we should be calling it around the state of Indiana in high schools. We've got the Indiana Pacers off to just a great start at 5-0. I watched them play the Bulls the other night. I mentioned on a previous show I had questions about Derrick Rose and whether his injury was healed up. I don't think it is. We had big BCS games as far as college football goes last night. Baylor, who is getting no respect from anyone, huge win, just kicked Oklahoma all over the field. They remain undefeated. A vaunted Oregon offense is basically shut down at Stanford. Stanford with a big win. Oregon drops from the unbeaten ranks. And if you are a Ohio State or Big Ten fan, you've got to, this bodes well for the Ohio State Buckeyes to move up a little bit. Of course, people in Florida, Florida State fans, are pretty happy as well. So, Joe, I'm just running from one thing to the next because, as you said, there's just so much going on this Friday.
Yeah, and, you know, around Jasper, the buzz is Jasper. And rights. I mean, even the county, you know, you've got Southridge versus Modern Day. You know, you've got two huge games right here in DuBois County, 7 miles apart. I mean, Evansville TV station's got it nice and easy tonight. They got a nice little drive down 231 to wherever they're going first, wherever they're going second. But you know, the Pacers, that excites me. I'm a Pacer junkie. I love the Pacers. And 5-0, and there's nothing better than 5-0 when, you know, my Bengals are, other than stubbing their toe last week, are off to a great start. And, you know, I got to think pro football, Coach, because, you know, college football hadn't been kind to me this year. And I'm hoping college basketball starts out good tonight with a Purdue victory. And, you know, IU starts off tonight again, too. And also, you know, coming up, we'll be talking to Michael Lewis. And I think they start their season tomorrow. So, you know, so much going on. So much, you know, and we haven't even talked about the Miami Dolphins. That's how excited we are about everything else.
Well, you know, I am just kind of pulled on the Miami Dolphin issue, and you are right. We'll touch base on that. But our Hoosiers do open up the hoop season with Chicago State. Chicago State is a new member of the WAC conference. You know, a lot of these conferences, Joe, have been realigned and teams left, and so they're a new member of that conference. I'm not really up on Chicago State. I do know they have maybe nine returning players from last year. Their starting lineup will be mostly seniors. They're a team that likes to get up and down the floor. They will play at a ferocious pace on both ends of the court, but a lot of prognosticators who put this stuff into the computers and things say that IU should win by 20 or more. We'll see as we talk with Michael Pegram from Pegs.com later in the show. We'll talk a little bit about the IU basketball season. I am going to touch base just for a minute, Joe, on the Miami situation, and you can weigh in after my thoughts. You know, first of all, I hate that people like Mike and Mike and Fox Sports and different people get a hold of these stories and they start talking about things before they know the facts. And obviously, I don't know all the facts. But this incognito, the villain in this, and Martin, who's who is this giant of a man who is somehow being bullied, has brought all of pro football into question. And I got to tell you something, Joe. You played football. I did not. But I was around football all my life. My dad played in college and coached for a while. You know, football is not a sport where you're normal. I mean, you got to be rough, you got to be tough, you got to be nasty, those types of things. Having said that, if they're tying this guy up and doing things to him, wrong. If they're harassing him on the phone, wrong. But the more this story plays, the more you hear different sides. And I thought it was interesting that a number of Miami Dolphin players and former players came out and said, I don't think this is exactly as it's being reported. So whatever the issues are with Martin, I hope he can get them taken care of. Whatever the issues are with Incognito, I hope that he works, can get. But I really hate that we have already judged these two guys without really knowing the facts.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, Reese had Mike and Mike on this morning, and I had to change the channel because I don't know. First, you've got Mike Golick sitting there talking, oh, I'll take care of him, and I just don't know if we know everything yet. Of course, they did report today about something that Incognito did at a Miami Dolphins golf outing and stuff. And, you know, I have to say, that happened years ago, supposedly. Why is it coming out just now if something, happened? And I don't know. I'd like to sit back and kind of take it all in and let's analyze it afterwards. Some of the Dolphins coming out like that, also makes you kind of question, if you jump to the gun at first, that maybe you should sit back and take it all in before you judge anybody.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Mr. Martin has some emotional issues. You know, maybe he's dealing with some things. Maybe he sees what's coming at him differently than what is coming to him. First of all, paying for a rookie meal there's no reason to cast guilt on someone one way or the other. This is a tradition in football. It's been going on for years and years. The thing about the Vegas trip, we started to find out that, no, he wasn't forced to pay for the Vegas trip. He was asked to pay for his portion of the Vegas trip after he pulled out, after saying he was going. These are things that groups of friends and coworkers and people go through all the time. I don't see anything rash about this. I don't see anything rash about locker room banter. Joe, we've all been through locker room banter. And I don't like people going back in someone's history, pulling something out from then to now, and somehow that makes this more palatable as being wrong. I mean, we've all done things when we were in our 20s, in our teens, in our that we don't do now. And you can take any situation and make someone look bad. On the other hand, we just don't hear anything from Martin. It's just been silent. And I don't like that either, because right now, Richie Incognito, the Miami Dolphins, their organization, and the NFL, they are on the stand. They are being judged. They are being hung. They are being burned at the stake, and nobody's saying anything. So I don't know. If you're listening, I just got a text from someone, Joe. They said they keep getting kicked off the Blog Talk website. If you're hanging there, maybe there's something going on with Blog Talk, but try again. You'll get back on. You don't want to miss this show because Joe has so much to tell us.
Well, also, I just got a message from a listener too, Tony from Jasper. He said though, Incognito is a great name for a villain.
It is. That was the first thing I thought of. Does it make him even more of a villain because of his name, Incognito? And folks, I'm not laughing at the situation, just laughing at the name. It's a sad situation because the NFL is not like any other sport. The NBA is not like any other sport. And Joe, here's the one thing that I think, Tony, our listener, you would agree to. unless you play the sport, unless you've been on the field, unless you've been in the locker room, unless you've been through the practice hours and the time in the weight room and all the conditioning, people who have not done the sport, it's like I say with coaching, if you haven't coached it, you know the old saying, walk a mile in someone's shoes before you criticize? Well, we don't do that. I don't do it either. We're all fickle. But if you haven't played the sport, you don't understand the mentality, the emotion, the physicality that goes along with it. It's just like working at a company at a certain type of job. Unless you know what it's like climbing those towers every day to build buildings or are working with heavy machinery in a coal mine, you have no idea what it's like, what the camaraderie it takes. It's just a different animal, and I respect that about each sport and about each occupation.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Unless you've always told me stories about being a coach, and until I lived with a high school coach, a varsity coach this fall, never lived in that. And a lot of what you say about walking in someone's shoes is quite true. As far as if you've never done it, you might not quite know the whole situation and what people are going through. So.
Well, we certainly have an opinion on this, and I'm sure as we get more facts, we'll give more of our opinion. Joe, let's jump back onto the Pacers just real quickly. You said you're a Pacer fan. I love the Pacers. I love that Larry Bird is back full-time with the team in a management role. I love what Frank Vogel has done with this team, the pieces of the puzzle. Hibbert is the perfect guy in the middle if we can keep him healthy. Paul George makes just such a – he just gets better every year, every month. Every week, they picked up good character guys with integrity, hard workers. I love what they did with their bench. They've got more scoring down the stretch. This is a solid team. Whether it can beat a Miami Heat in a series, I don't know, come playoff time. But right now, this is a solid basketball team on both ends of the court.
Yes, it is. We just got to, hope for the Pacers. Fans' sake that Roy Hibbert can stay healthy, in the middle there. He's a space heater. He's doing a great job. That first game, he kind of welcomed Victor Oladipo to the NBA a couple times. I don't know if you saw that or not. He let him know that this is the NBA, and Victor's, I've seen some highlights. I mean, he's had some great moments, already though too. But he's just a great inside force that I think can take us far, along with Paul George and the rest of the guys. I like the group they've ensembled. And you're right, they've got a bunch of good character guys, and they're not going to be flashy. They're not going to make music videos like the Miami Heat or anything like that. They're just going to go out and they're going to do their job.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I like what we've got. Obviously, the Bulls are a big factor in what goes on down the stretch with the Pacers. I watched that game from start to finish. I didn't think it was the best played game, but it was a very, very physical game. I mean, a really physical game. And I thought there were some great moments. I said in a Facebook message, I thought there were some great moments of basketball IQ on both ends of the court. Great defensive movement, great offensive movement, help, recover. Things that you don't normally see on the pro level, game in and game out, I saw in that game, and I really liked it. But I tell you what, the star of the Bulls, Rose, he is not moving well left to right. He can't get to the basket straight on. He can, but Joe, in sports, you got to be able to do lateral movement to start that movement straight ahead, especially in basketball. And right now, he's struggling to do that. Whether that's a mental thing, we'll have to see, or maybe it's just a strengthening process physically, we'll have to see. But we've got a great show. Before we go to our first break, let me just tell you, we've got Michael Lewis, assistant coach from Butler, coming up. They open up with Lamar this weekend. We've got Chris Goodman to talk about high school sectional championship games in the southern part of the state. We've got Bill Somm to talk with us about. He just does a great job talking about Indianapolis football He's coming up championship Friday night, and we also call on him for NCAA information at times since he was a longtime upper echelon executive for him. We've got Mike Pegram with Pegs.com and Rivals.com coming up to talk some Hoosiers, basketball, football, you name it. We'll have the mailbag going. We've got some great questions there. And all of that's going to get started over the next hour and 45 minutes, but we're going to go to break first. We want to welcome a new supporter of the show, Lantern Road Corp., LLC, is going to be joining the show as a supporter, and we'll talk more about them in the coming months. But we're going to break right now. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Don't try and church it up, son. Don't you mean Joe Dirt?
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back to the Coach K and Joe Show. And, Coach, I do know we've got Michael Lewis coming up with us, but before we brought him on, I wanted to hear, as because you coached him, your funniest Michael Lewis story.
Oh, I'm not even going to go into all that because there's some things that Michael used to do. Let's just put it this way. Michael was a strong individual on our basketball team. Let's just put it that way. And thank God we had him. And I'm going to leave it right there.
Okay. Sounds good.
We are back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and I'm hoping we have Michael Lewis on the line.
You do, and that was probably the safest answer you could give there, Coach.
You know, one thing I've learned over the years, watch what you tell about other people because they have things they can tell about you. So, you were with me every day for 4 years during the basketball season because you came up right away as a freshman, and the years before that you just hung around the gym as your dad was an assistant coach for me and later our athletic director. But So I got to watch what I say, Michael, because I'm sure you have plenty you can say about me.
Well, when you spend that much time around each other, you're bound to have a few stories, right?
Exactly. I'm sure we have a few about your buddy Adam Offert, too, but we'll leave that for another time. So, Michael, you've got a big, big weekend coming up, and I think it's big because it's kind of a change of the guard at Butler. Not so much from player standpoint, although you've lost some good players and you've got some guys coming back, but you're starting a new era, and that's a new head coach, Brandon Miller. We'll start out and open up Butler as the Butler season as the new head coach.
Yeah, there's been some small changes around Butler this off season. New head coach, new conference, but the one thing that's stayed constant through the whole thing has been our guys, and it's been that way. Before I got here with the coaching changes and everything, it's just kind of the Butler way. You know, it's the next man up, whether it's a coaching staff or from a player standpoint, and our guys have really handled things really well. The transition has been very smooth. Brandon was here for a couple months before getting the head job, and so our guys got a chance to get used to him, and we had the trip to Australia, which I think was very valuable to us. And so really from a transitional point from our team's perspective, it's been pretty smooth. Our guys have bought in. There hasn't been a lot of change, and I think that's why Butler does things the way that they do, because they found something that has worked, and they continue to ride that train.
Well, the Butler story is a great one, both historically and just in recent period. You know, the two back-to-back final NCAA championship games that you were in. You've got Brandon coming in. He's a Butler guy, the Butler way. I think he's the fourth straight coach that you've hired from within in the head position. You're back again. The staff has stayed pretty much intact. You've got some good kids coming back. You know, one comment you made, you talked about the Australian trip, and if I can just dwell on that for just a minute before we move on to the opening game, I've got to believe that when you make trips like that, not only is this a great experience for young men, the players, even the coaches, to go to a country, a place like that far away, but I got to believe the time, basically 24 hours a day, that you're stuck together. They start to learn a lot about each other, both good, bad, whatever, but you really start to cement yourself as a unit.
No question. I think, you know, we got six new guys on our team, four scholarship players, two walk-ons, and it kind of came at a perfect time. You know, it was about a month after the coaching change, and so our team and our staff, you know, jumped on a plane, and we headed to Australia for 10 days, and it was just us. You know, when you're in a foreign country, there's some communication issues, even in the technology age that we live in now, that, you know, talking with people back home wasn't the easiest. So you're stuck with your team and your staff, and you get to know each other on a different level. They got to be around, you know, Brandon and Chris Holtman, who is a new addition to our staff, off the court, and you get to know each other at another level, and I don't think that trip could have come at a better time for our program than it did.
Yeah, I know. Just on the high school level, when we had a couple overnight trips with you guys, you know, you got to do bed checks, you got to check on guys, but you never know what. And I don't mean this doing anything bad, but you never know what. How bad it's going to smell in a motel room or hotel room with a bunch of players in it, the different smelling games you guys play. So, if you know what I mean about you guys growing up. So,
I hope we've matured a little bit. I hope we've matured a little bit, but it was a great experience. You're in a different country. You know, the one good thing is you're in Australia. They speak English, so the language barrier wasn't there. But you get to see a different country. You travel a different country, and you see different cultures. And you know, it was a special experience, and one that I was very happy that I was able to be a part of, and something that our guys, you know, still talk about. And I'm sure it's when they get together 10, 20 years from now, it'll be the highlights of their conversations.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I think that's a wonderful part experience for these young college men, and they are men, they're young men, to go out, and it just helps them to grow and helps you guys to come together. Okay, we got the season opener. You got a couple exhibition games under your belt, which you won the last one against DePaul of Greencastle here in Indiana. Starting the season, you guys have won, if I'm not mistaken, 14 straight home openers. You're 226-34 at Hinkle in the last 18 seasons. That's 87% at home. You've got some key guys coming back: Dunham, Marshall, Barlow, Fromm, Wood. You've got a nice group coming back. Tell us what we can expect from this year's Butler team.
Well, you kind of set us up there. You know, it's kind of like the curse right there. Putting all those stats out there, you know, I guess really the only negative of the Australia trip was Roosevelt Jones getting hurt and being out for the year with a wrist injury. But we do have some core guys that are returning. We're excited about our newcomers. You touched on some of the returning guys. You know, Alex Barlow, who he went from just a guy on a team to a national star when he hit the floater to beat Indiana last year. Really kind of provide some leadership and some stability in the backcourt, an outstanding defensive player, and just just really solid in how he's approached, you know, the first month of practice here and helping the new guys get acquainted with our system. You know, Kellen Dunham is a sophomore who I think is poised to have a really big year. He can make any shot on the floor, you know, and he's got some NBA guys calling in and checking on him because he's a 6'6" shooter. You know, he's become much more aggressive now without Rodney Clark around, and he's added some things to his game where he can drive it and get to the hole and one or two dribble pull ups and just the ultimate gym rat, really works. You know, Rodney kind of took him under his wing last year, and Kellen lives in the gym. And then Cameron Woods is a guy with his length. You know, he's 6'9", he's got a 7'3" wingspan, can cause some problems both on the perimeter and on the inside. And then you got Eric Fromm and Kyle Marshall, who are the only two guys left on the national championship game, you know, that have participated in the national championship game. And I don't think you can ever undervalue that type of experience. And Eric is a post player who has the ability to stretch the floor and shoot the three-pointer. And then Kyle is as athletic a leaper as there is in the country. And so those two guys as seniors, I think, are ready to take on more of a leadership role and you know, get us off to a good start this season.
You know, one of the newcomers you've got, Elijah Brown, I noticed that he's played pretty well, at least from a scoring standpoint, in your exhibition games.
Well, he's an explosive scorer. He's got a lot of tools physically. He's extremely athletic. He's fast. He's been around the game. You know, I don't know if you know his background, but his dad is Mike Brown, who coaches the Cleveland Cavaliers, and so Elijah's grown up around pros now, and he's learned the game from that perspective, and he's been around a coach his whole life, and you know, Mike is one of the best basketball minds in the business right now, and so he comes in with a very high basketball IQ. Like I said, he's explosive athletically and can put points up on the board in a hurry. I think he came in his first game and had like 8 points in a minute 20. He's like most freshmen. He's got to continue to develop on the defensive end and learn our defensive system. But if he continues to work and has the right approach, he's got an opportunity to have a special career here.
Yeah, and I really like the fact he's 6'4". Is he a solid 6'4"? Is he a shade 2'6"4"? I mean, size-wise, he looks to have a good physical for this level of
basketball. Yeah, he's no question 6'3", probably 6'4". He's longer than that. You know, he's 6'7" long, you know, with his wingspan, and he's able to cover a lot of ground. You know, but I think he just has an approach and a maturity to him, I think, just because of his background, that he approaches the game the right way. You know, and he's like a lot of the guys that we have on our team with their commitment to getting in the gym and working on their game, and he's just had an opportunity here earlier than maybe expected with the injury to Roosevelt, you know, to showcase that.
You know, Michael, I'll just take 30 seconds and brag on you a little bit. As a player, you were a player who always expanded his game every year. And I know you don't give yourself enough credit for defense in high school, but you did play it. You knew how to go to the basket. You knew how to shoot the perimeter shot. You knew how to pull up and shoot the jumper. You even worked on shooting with both hands from the baseline area to make that shot easier. I would think that you bring, and the rest of the staff, can help a guy like Kellen Dunham, who this can become his team over the next few years. I mean, he can be the guy that this team builds around. If he's expanding his game like that, he really puts you guys in a position to have a true offensive scoring punch game in and game out.
Well, he's special in a way because of the way he works, and more so than any. He's not an extremely vocal kid, but you can't help but realize the amount of time that he's in the gym. So, you know, when this freshman class came in and you know, they just see Kellen, every time they see Kellen, they find him in the gym shooting shots. And Kellen's not a guy that just comes in and flips it up. Like he works on different shots that he's going to get in our offense. He tries things that he hasn't done before to expand his game. And that's, you know, I think he took full advantage of the summer off. I think he's excited about the opportunity that, you know, there's going to be more expected of him. You know, some individuals shy away from that. But not, Kellen doesn't. Like, he understands the load that's on his shoulders this year, and I think he welcomes that, and our guys understand how important he is to our team on the offensive end.
Well, and Butler, another big part of this season, new conference, big conference, get a lot of exposure, especially on the East Coast. You've got 28 nationally televised games. That's got to be exciting.
Well, it's unprecedented from a Butler standpoint. Never even, you know, with you can't match the exposure you get when you make a Final Four run. But to think that, you know, 36 months ago, Butler was sitting in the Horizon League, and a year and a half later, they're on one of the biggest stages in college basketball. It's been an unbelievable transformation for the school. And I think it just reflects on the program that Butler has built, you know, for the last 20 years. You know, ever since Barry Collier took over as a head coach and kind of got the ball rolling a little bit, and this is where it came to. You're in the Big East. You're in you know, one of the top four basketball leagues in the country. You know, and like you said, we got 28 games on national television, not regional, but national television. And what a great opportunity for our guys, you know, and we expect our guys to go out and represent themselves in the right way, just as Butler always has. And they just have a much larger stage to do so now.
No doubt it's going to help those young men. It's going to help, should help recruiting. And it also helps the exposure of the university. You can't spend enough money to get that kind of exposure for the university. Head coach Pat Knight. We know Pat. You've been around Pat for a long time. Mm-hmm. I got to meet Pat through recruiting with IU when you were in high school. And Pat's at Lamar. He's going to start his third season. A really solid first season, a huge struggle in his second season, and a very undersized team coming in. Your thoughts on Lamar?
Well, I think Pat is in the middle of rebuilding that program. He took over a program that was kind of in shambles and inherited a roster that had a lot of issues on it. And he got those guys to buy in and made the NCAA tournament, and really achieve at a level that team hadn't experienced in a while. And I've been an assistant coach at that level. Things are very cyclical, and he had to start over, and he's brought some guys in. He's got, I think, 7 new players on this year's roster. You touched on it. They are undersized, but they're extremely athletic. They're very fast. Pat likes to get up and down the court. You know, we've watched some tapes from last year, and obviously we've got a tape on their exhibition game, and they really like to push the ball in transition. And they are undersized, but they, at all 5 positions, they have the ability to put the ball on the floor and get to the rim. And so that's going to constantly put pressure on our defense. We're going to have to be able to get back and build a wall and match up and try to keep these guys in front of us.
Last thing before we let you go, Michael, one of the young men on the Lamar team, a name that would be known nationally, last name is Mattingly, Don Mattingly, current Los Angeles Dodgers manager, a great Yankee, great Indiana high school baseball, football, basketball player. His son Preston, who was in the major leagues as far as trying to move his way up, left Major League Baseball, and Coach Knight, Pat Knight, gave him an opportunity at Lamar.
Yeah, he might be the oldest freshman in the country.
But
I remember, you know, Preston when he was at Evansville Central, and obviously he's a good athlete. You know, just watched a little bit of film on him as we're getting ready for Lamar, and you know, you can tell he's still getting a little bit of the rust off from a basketball standpoint. But he's a grown man. I mean, he's not an 18, 19 year old freshman. You know, he's a grown man. He's a strong physical kid, and I think he probably provides that team with a sense of maturity that Pat is looking for, and I think that coming into this game and coming into that season, what Pat's looking to build upon, Preston will be very valuable addition.
Well, Michael, it's always great to talk to you. Assistant coach at Butler, we will have you back many times, and anytime you want to share anything with us, you do that. I got to brag on you again. Runner-up for Mr. Basketball should have been one of the great all-time scorers in the state of Indiana in high school basketball, all-time assist leader at IU. You've just had basketball has afforded you just a great career all the way through.
I could never repay. I mean, basketball. It's allowed me to see the world, to experience things that I never would have experienced doing anything else. It's a great game. I've enjoyed it, and I'm very thankful for the opportunity every day to continue to be a part of it. So, but hey, one of it's probably an NCAA violation on my part. But good luck to the Cass tonight, sectional championship, huh?
Absolutely, yeah. Against Wrights.
That might be my first ever NCAA violation right there by wishing my alma mater good luck here on the radio.
We just had a text from a listener that said one of the great Michael Lewis moments for him was, and I remember it well, a tough game against New Albany. We came out on the short end, and we were on the road, and the New Albany crowd gave you a standing ovation coming off the floor because you played such a gritty and tough game. And whenever the opponent gives you standing ovation, that's pretty solid.
Well, it was a special moment. Very very appreciative of that. I remember it, but more than the standing O, I remember taking that loss. It's always you know those losses stick with you a little bit more than the wins. But it was a very nice gesture by the crowd down there.
Yeah, the losses never go, unfortunately. Hey, we'll talk to you later, Michael. Good luck this weekend, and if I can, I may try to get there. We'll talk to you down the road.
Sounds great. Thanks, Coach.
All right, we're going to break. When we come back, we'll talk football championship Friday in Southern Indiana with Chris Goodman. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
So I had my $360. The next day I was going to try the police sketch thing. Something happened in my head. See, I spent the night in what I thought was an abandoned circus tent, but I guess it was no circus. I was totally bombing insecticide, I think. So needless to say, I was in no shape to do anybody any good with my recollection. The guy doing the police sketch thought I was messing with him. Because my dad came out looking like Father Time, and my mom came out too butch, and looking way too much like Richard Ramirez. You know, the Night Stalker, remember that guy?
Yeah. Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and we had a little Joe Dirt, a little Three Dog Night Shambhala. And I got to tell you, there is no dirt, at least dirty dirt, when we're talking with Chris Goodman. We're talking Championship Friday football in Southern Indiana. Chris, good to have you back.
You know, you always come up with a unique way to introduce me, and you always put me after an all-star, somebody that, you know, I don't quite equate to. If it's not Matt Mock or somebody like, or John Goldsberry, you know, it's Michael Lewis. So, you know, it's hard to follow up these guys, you know. I have no playing experience. I haven't played in college or played for the Hoosiers and Bob Knight or anything like that, so I'm not sure I have anything to offer.
Chris, a team is made up of all different pieces, and there's the part that scores or the part that stars, but there's the part that roots around, battle of attrition. Make sure you can hold your ground, and that's what Chris Goodman is to the. We got a big weekend. If you're playing in a championship sectional football game, tonight's a big night as a player, as a coach, as a fan, and there's no game bigger. For the Coach K and Joe show, I'm stationed in Evansville. Joe's back in Jasper. We have ties both ways. We got Chris Goodman in Newburgh, and we're talking to start out Wright's Panthers going to Jasper, Jerry Brewer Alumni Stadium, two of the top tradition football programs literally in the state of Indiana, matching up again in the sectional championship.
You know, it's funny, we talked about this at the beginning of the year, and we were talking about how Wright's lost, you know, two of their first three. They lost to Castle, didn't score any points against them, and then Henderson. They beat Paducah Tillman, but then you look at that and you try to think, you know, excuse me, my phone's ringing over here. But you look at that and you see that Wright's has improved tremendously. They've only lost one game since losing two out of three, and that was to Modern Day, a team that's undefeated. So obviously they're a team that is on the rise. They've rolled through their first two games in the playoffs, but equally you look at Jasper, and you look at what they did against Central last week, and not only did they score points against them, but they held a pretty good offensive team and probably borderline terrific offensive team to a relatively low-scoring game. So I'm interested to see this matchup. I'm glad it's at Jasper. You know, it'd be nice to have it at the bowl. It'd be closer for me to drive to, but I think it's always neat to see it up there at Jerry Brewer Stadium, and that's always one of the neat things.
Well, I know that people will be able to listen to it on radio both in the Evansville area and on WITZ in the Jasper area. You know, the thing about this game is in the past I just had a much better handle on this Wright's Panthers team that you've been talking about. I just am wondering if Wright's has the offensive power to get in a position to win this game. I think Jasper brings a versatile offense, passing, running, a solid defense. I'm not saying that Wright's doesn't do the same, but it just doesn't seem like the Wright's teams of the last few years, they seem to be a little bit more offensively.
Yeah, and I think Wright's runs the ball, like you said, a lot more. Dwayne Esther's out of the backfield, I think, missed last week's game. They've got a good fullback that they run. They got a wide receiver slash wingback in Malik Higgins, who I think is probably their best player and ultimately is the difference maker for that team. He was when they played North. He had a couple of touchdowns late against them when they should have probably lost to the Huskies, trailed that entire game and then came back. But they didn't go through the air that much. You're right, Austin Reagan's a quarterback that can throw it when he needs to. He's got good receivers, Malik Higgins, Jordan Summers, but they don't throw it that much. They kind of keep it on the ground. Maybe they want to avoid mistakes and turnovers and just kind of grind it out, similar to what, you know, we've seen with Jasper in the past years.
Well, I think it's going to be an exciting game. It'll be a nice crowd on hand. It's going to be a great night, a little cool, but not anything that should affect the overall play of the game, and it's just going to be solid. Another big game that pits Vandenberg County and DuBois County together, we've got an undefeated, and I mean a steamrolling, modern-day Wildcat team under Coach Gable, and they're going to go into Southridge yet again to Southridge for a sectional championship game against the Raiders.
Yeah, they have actually won three straight. I was looking back, and it seems like the Raiders have been a lot more competitive in those games. And not to take away from them being competitive, they've lost some close games. But Modern Day's actually won three in a row to eliminate the Raiders. They're trying to make it four in a row. Southridge hasn't beat them in the playoffs since, like, 2008. But it seems like those two meet every single year. I don't know how it ends up, but maybe it's because both of them are usually the best in 2A. But it seems like just about every year you see that matchup. And it's one of those matchups that I always look forward to. Southridge has got a great ball club. Haven't seen them this year. I've seen a lot of highlights. I know they still probably run the wing tee and run the ball quite a bit with three or four different runners. Modern Day, on the other hand, is a team that can pass, but they also like to go on the ground. Nolan Gable's a tremendous runner. And more than just having Nolan Gable being a tremendous runner, they have just an unbelievable offensive and defensive line at Modern Day, and I think that spells for victories. And a lot of times they always say that, you know, speed kills and defense wins games, but in football, a lot of times I like to think that the offensive and defensive lines dictate a lot more than just speed and defense.
You know, I really think that's going to be the difference in this game. I just think modern day is just going to be so strong up front on both sides of the ball. It's just going to create a lot of problems. Although Southridge does have the capability, a couple of solid running backs who can get out and go with the ball. I look at the sectional play so far. Southridge has been very fortunate to move on, where modern day is just steamrolled.
Yeah, that's the one thing about modern day is not even just in the sectionals, but the regular season. You look back at their schedule, they've only had a couple of close games, and we actually did the modern day Castle game, and that shows a score of 31-24, but it actually wasn't that close. Castle scored a couple of touchdowns late, made that look a lot closer than it was, but it was actually a pretty decisive victory. So modern day really hasn't struggled. Kind of the same situation with the Wrights. They led Wrights for the most part, and then Wrights got a touchdown late in the game to make that one look closer. But the Wildcats have kind of been rolling over everybody this year. They haven't had a whole lot of close games. And I think this is the time of year when you go to sectional championship games, when you end up in those close games. And this is kind of when you see what those teams are made of and what they can actually do. Because I think Southridge is obviously going to provide them a huge test tonight.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a solid game. But I really feel like modern day just has too much for the Raiders. It's a toss-up for me for Wrights and Jasper. Of course, my heart says Jasper, but I look at Wrights and just their ability to continue to succeed in sectional championship games. But the other one worthy of talking about is the 3A game, and that pits some teams closer to home as far as the Evansville area. You've got Bossy and the Bossy Bulldogs playing for a sectional championship game. They've earned their way in. They're 7-4, and they're going up against the vaunted offense and a solid defense of Gibson Southern undefeated.
Yeah, I think that defense is a little underrated for Gibson Southern. They put so many points on the board during the course of the year, and I got to see them against Princeton this year, and they really shut down a pretty good offensive team. They have Deion Hardeman, a good runner, so that if there's any indication that they could shut down a pretty good running team, and that's what Bossy is, they can pass as well, but mainly a running team. I think the win over Princeton this year when they slowed down Deion Hardeman kind of shows you what it is. Both of those teams have played Memorial. Last week, Gibson Southern beat them in the sectionals, of course, is a close game. Bossy beat them 37-35, and then Gibson Southern beat them 29-23. So if you look at like scores, you think that this has the potential of being close. You always think about the speed element with Bossy, but I'm going to tell you this. Gibson Southern's quick. Their hands players are their running backs, their wide receivers. They can throw multiple running backs at you. They got a good quarterback, Nick Sellers, who, by the way, when I interviewed him at the end of the game when they beat Princeton, said his favorite player was Tim Tebow, who is also a left-hander. And I just think the world of their offense, but their defense is so underrated. I think they can win a lot of games with their defense, a lot more than people probably are aware of.
I really think that this game will go Gibson Southern's way. I just think they have too many weapons. The one thing, though, that hurts Princeton, I think, are numbers, quality numbers. I think they have some outstanding offensive skill players, but you just have to have some things up front on both sides of the line to be able to stop a team like Gibson Southern. And I just think that Gibson will make their adjustments to handle the quickness, and they're going to come out with this win.
Well, you see Bossy, too, in the opening game of the sectional when they play Pike Central, and they really struggled with the Chargers, and then they play Princeton. They beat them by 14, and that's kind of a team that Gibson Southern manhandled. So you think, at least on paper, you think that the Titans are going to be ready. But I'll tell you this, Andre Thomas has his team playing with more heart than I've seen from Bossy probably in the past decade, and I think that means an absolute, you know, a ton when you're playing on the high school level. I mean, you being a coach yourself, I mean, there's no taking away from preparation and practice, but heart is invaluable. I mean, I really believe that that's a big cog for Bossy, and I think that's a big reason that they're 7-4 heading into this game. So I don't want to take anything away from them. I think they're going to go up there and they're going to play really well, but I think ultimately Gibson Southern, like you said, I think they just have too many weapons.
Well, from a standpoint of heart, Bossy's got it, and of course Gibson Southern's got it in Coach Hart, and he's just done a great job with this Gibson Southern program.
Yeah, I think the world of what he has done in his couple of years there, and I hope for the Tri-State and for Gibson Southern that he stays here, but it's kind of like you're looking at that situation, you're thinking, wow, what has this guy done in just a couple of years? I know the school's up north and all around the state, maybe in Illinois, I mean, some jobs with probably some bigger enrollments and bigger opportunities are going to open for Nick Hart, and I hope he stays put. I would love to see him stay there. I thought that there was a potential that Wrights may try to get him after that first year, and probably they didn't know if he was proven, unproven, or what at that point. But I think in his second year, he's 22-3 at a program that has historically not succeeded that well. Just the way he's handled that program is just unbelievable. And I think he's always been first class. He was always great as a player to interview, as a coach. And I think the world of him, and I think he's got that program moving in the right direction, as does Andre Thomas.
Well, at his age, I wouldn't blame him if he decided to move on and what we would call move on and move up. Obviously, he's the son of an outstanding football coach as well who continues to move to different jobs and in opportunities to learn and grow, and that's what you do in coaching. Before I let you go, Chris, I was just talking with Michael Lewis, of course. Butler opens up with Lamar. Pat Knight is the head coach of Lamar. An interesting roster player. He scored 6 points in the exhibition game that Lamar had. Preston Mattingly, a former Central Bears standout in football, basketball, and baseball. The son, of course, of Los Angeles Dodgers manager Don Mattingly. He's a Lamar player. He's going to get playing time. Your thoughts from him? I call it just having a desire and a confidence to say, you know what? I'm done with baseball. I love basketball. I'm going to go give it a try.
Yeah, I don't doubt that at all, because I saw him in North in a game where Central played at North in a holiday tournament, and I think he had 35 points in the first half, and he was just shooting from three and scoring inside. He had a lot of size compared to a lot of the high school players at that time, and he had a lot of skill that you didn't necessarily see. And there were rumors going around that he was being recruited by Tennessee to play basketball in different places. I think that's when Bruce Pearl was there, and the fact that he's playing basketball again doesn't surprise me at all. He's a tremendous athlete. I know once you get in the minor league levels and you're playing baseball, I don't know from personal experience, but I know from seeing some of our tremendous players that have tried to work their way up, like a Jeff Goldbach, a Princeton or something, that obviously it's really tough. Like a Josh Garrett at you know, South Spencer, who was an amazing athlete. Some of the players that, you know, have made it to the minor league levels but haven't been able to make it to the majors. That shows you how good that baseball system is. But it doesn't surprise me at all that he's playing basketball, and I don't think it's a knock on him at all that he didn't make it to the bigs and Major League Baseball and he's playing basketball. I think watching him when I saw him play, I thought he kind of missed his calling, because I thought he was unbelievable at basketball. I mean, I thought he's just a horrible matchup. He's a little too big for a little guard to guard, and he's too quick for some of the forwards to guard. So I thought he had a lot of speed and a lot of chance to maybe play that, and it doesn't surprise me at all. It's just a refreshing story to see him do it, because I think he's a good guy too.
Well, I'm excited for him. I saw him play in high school. I thought he was a solid player. Be interesting to see how his footwork is, his foot speed. But you're right, he was a tough matchup because he was physical. He could shoot it. If you're guarding him and smaller, you're going to have a tough time dealing with him taking the ball to the basket. But he could fill it up. So I think he had a three-point shot and three free throws for Lamar in limited playing time in their only exhibition game. Be interesting to see his progress as he goes towards. And as Michael Lewis said, he's probably the oldest freshman in the NCAA this year.
Hey, I remember a couple of years ago, I'm kind of dating myself. It was probably about 15 years ago, but I remember, I think it was Michael Chaney that played for Kentucky Wesleyan, and I want to say he was 28 or 29, something in that range, and I think maybe he'd gone to the military or something and then come back, and maybe I'm remembering this wrong, but I think he was 28 or 29, so there's no shame if you haven't used your college eligibility and going back and playing. We saw, I think there was a college football player that was in his 40s a couple of years ago that, and I can't remember the school, but, I mean, I'm all for that. If you haven't used your eligibility, if you want to play, if you can be valuable to your team, you can get an education, I think that's just a tremendous win-win story for the college, for the kid, and I don't think that you have to be, you know, 19. College is different now these days. I think, you know, there's a lot of non-traditional students, and I think if you can do that, I think he's a huge asset to probably his team because he's been there, done that, and he's probably going to be just a tremendous influence on some of those young kids in that locker room, kind of like a coach out on the floor.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's going to be interesting. I'm happy for him. And the last guy that I knew that did this, played football for LSU and won a national championship, Matt Mock. So it does happen.
Worked out pretty well.
the eligibility rules are what they are. Why not take advantage of them?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think he'll prosper and probably do pretty well there, get an education. That's probably the most important thing, is something you miss when you go through the minor league system. You don't always get those college degrees, and that's one of the things I love to see when a kid goes to the minor league system or doesn't initially go to college, but then, you know, maybe they go in the military for 4 years, and when they come back and, you know, have the gall and have the energy to go to school and get that degree, I think it's a huge thing and a huge accomplishment for those kids. And I think, you know, we look at athletics sometimes, And you know, guys like you and I, were, you know, we hype up the athleticism, but never want to take away from the fact that it's way more important to, you know, keep your grades up and go through school and do that and graduate and have that on your resume.
Oh, that the academics are the most important thing. They give you the opportunity. And as I was telling Michael Lewis, 28 nationally televised games, you can't buy that kind of exposure as a university. So it's great for the university overall, and the mission of the university is academics anyway. So, Chris, great to have you again. We'll see how these games come out, and maybe we'll be talking some regional round football next week.
Sounds great. Always great to let you guys have me on the show. That sounds kind of backwards. What I meant was, it's always nice for you guys to let me be on the show is what I meant. I don't always say it right. I'm a broadcaster. I've been in the business for a long, long time, but I still fumble my words around backwards, you know?
Oh, you're great, Chris. We love having you. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk about some other things. Hopefully we'll be talking with Bill Somm before the top of the hour. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? We'll team up with the Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
Well, I better go with showtime. There's three things to remember when dealing with a deadly alligator. And yes, they are deadly. Don't kid yourself. Rule number one, I'm number one. You hear that? I like to kid around. Rule two, the croc's number two. Now, before we begin.
Hey, what's rule three?
What's that? Kid, give me a break now.
So you don't know rule three?
Yeah, you want a match? My face and your ass. How about that, friend? Huh? I mean, your ass and my face. What's up? Here we go. I'm a bit of a crocophile, so don't try this at home. This here's Rocky, and he ain't no puppy. Now, let's see if Rocky's got some cavities. Ah! Ooh. This mofo knows not to mess with Sir Joseph's skirt. Ah! You didn't listen to me!
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home?
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and we've got with us our Indianapolis contributor for high school football, also our NCAA contributor. He was on a plane yesterday. He's back. He's ready to go. It's Championship Football Friday, and if you're going to talk about some of the great teams in the state of Indiana in high school football, you got to talk about teams around the Indianapolis area, and he's the guy that can do it for our listeners. Bill Somm, good to have you on the show.
How are you, Coach? Good morning.
I'm pretty excited because I get excited. As a former coach, it's sectional championship night. Whether, you know, my sport was basketball, but I know how I felt. That was usually on a Saturday night. I got to believe there are parents, players, students, coaches, grandpas, grandmas, fans, you name it. They just can't wait till kickoff.
Well, you know, especially up here in Indianapolis today, it is bright, sunshiny day, hardly any breeze, probably in the mid-40s. It's just an absolutely perfect day for all those folks you just mentioned, and most importantly, the high school football players who are in the sectional championships. Well, you know what, Coach? This year is a little bit different because there are regional championships tonight in 6A, as you probably know.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing, Bill, and I appreciate you bringing that up for our listeners. With the expansion of these classes, the number of teams are limited in the upper classes. It kind of changed how that thing moved along. Fill us in a little bit as we go along and get everybody up to speed on what we've got going from a regional level and sectional level. Get us all on the same page.
Well, up here in the 6A area with the regionals, as you mentioned, you know, they fast forwarded because there's only 16 teams in that whole in the whole top six bracket there. But there's some really good football teams in the Indianapolis area. We have two regional championships that I think we can talk about, and it's Warren Central, who's playing at Pike. Warren Central's 8-3. Pike is 7-4. Two very good football teams. Early in the season, you might remember with Pike, we talked about the Booth kid who's going to Tennessee. He's actually out with an injury, which is distressing personally for him, I know, and I hate to see a great athlete leave a game, but he will not be playing tonight. Warren Central is, they're very well coached. Cathedral played them early, and I thought Warren was a little bit shaky, but they have hung on. This is going to be a really, really, really good football game. I have a feeling that at the end of the day, Pike will pull it out. The interesting thing about Pike over the last couple of weeks, they've kind of dug themselves a hole, but they've come back and won. Earlier in the season, they were down 28-0 to Warren Central, and they came back and won 38-28. Last week, they were down several touchdowns against Ben Davis, and they came back and won 34-32. So I think what you have in Pike is a seasoned team, kind of a mentally tough team, and that's going to be a real battle, but I think you'll probably see Pike over Warren Central. And in the other 6A regional, you have kind of the Cinderella team, the sweethearts of, I think, maybe the whole state, Southport. They are 11-0, coached by probably one of the top five coaches in the state of Indiana, Billy Peoples. And Southport is playing at Center Grove. This very well, though, will probably be the end of the trail for Southport. Center Grove is probably your state champion, I would think, at the end of the day. I think it's probably going to be Penn versus Center Grove, but Center Grove is just they're big and they're strong and they can grind it out and they can throw it. But Southport, you know, especially in the sport of basketball, those Cinderellas can make it happen. So it'll be interesting to see how they do. Southport's 11-0, Center Grove's 10-1. The game is at Center Grove, so I think you're probably going to see Center Grove pull that out.
Hey, Bill, just real quick on this 6A. Obviously, you talked about Pike throughout the year. They hit a little bit of a couple of hiccups, but you were always talking about the potential of this Pike team, and it's come to fruition. But I wanted to ask you real quickly before we move on, do you like the 6A setup? It's almost like a large conference.
Yeah, you know, I don't think there's enough teams. The answer is no. I don't like it. I'm not one of those guys that believes everybody should get a trophy. Now, I don't know that we have to have one class football either, but goodness gracious, you know, a state tournament with 16 teams, that's just not very many football teams. So I hope that this thing may be able to be evened out over the course of a number of years. And then it's interesting, those schools in 6A are just mammoth. And just kind of from a personal standpoint, I'm looking at my freshman son who plays at Cathedral. If Cathedral, you know, if the good Lord decides that they can compete this year and, you know, win a regional or a state championship and they bounce back next year, I'm looking at my freshman playing in 6A tournament, you know, in a couple of years. So just because of that bump rule. So I hope they kind of step back and kind of try and figure out a better way to do this. 16 teams is not enough to be called a state champion, I don't think.
I'm with you on that. Okay, what we got going with 5A?
Well, 5A, you know, again, we're back to the sectional championship, so it's a great day for rest of the 1 through 5 folks. They're playing for a trophy tonight. In Section 13, we have Anderson at Indianapolis Cathedral. Anderson's 4-6. They upset Richmond last week. Richmond had beat Anderson earlier in the year, so they're the Cinderella probably of Class 5A at the moment. Cathedral 6-5. Winning fairly handedly through the tournament thus far. They have, as we've talked all year, they probably have the best football player in the state of Indiana and one of the best in the nation, Terry McLaren. So I really think Anderson has a nice running back, but I think you'll see Cathedral move on down the road to the regionals at this point in time. Another interesting game, at least in the Indianapolis area, is you have McCutchen at Westfield. I think everybody in the state's kind of trying to figure out how good is Westfield. Obviously, they're ranked number one. They're 9-1. Again, they're probably not going to be touched or tested tonight because they play McCutchen, who is 4-6. We also have Floyd Central at Whiteland. That's a game that's important to the Cathedral people. If Cathedral wins, they play the winner of that game. And then in this general area, kind of in between you and I, Coach, you have Bloomington South at Bloomington North. And Bloomington South's 4-6, Bloomington North 6-4. So that's a really good area rivalry game, and that'll be fun to see how that turns out. I think you'll probably end up seeing North. You'll probably see Whiteland. You'll probably see Cathedral come out of those several different sectionals.
And then we've got the rest of the state moving on. Any team that you feel like may be poised to get upset or to pull the upset?
Well, I'll tell you, in Class 4A, at least in this area, you have maybe the two funnest, best games of Friday night. If you're just a high school football fan in a 60-mile radius of Indianapolis, I probably wouldn't go to any of the games I've talked about so far. I'd either go to Mount Vernon at New Powell, or I'd go to Ron Colley at Chittard. Mount Vernon is 9-2. New Powell is 11-0. Mount Vernon is coached by a guy named Doug Armstrong. He was the last head coach at New Powell and won at New Powell. Mount Vernon runs almost a single-wing offense, just really well coached, and obviously New Powell is very good at 11-0. So that's just going to be a physical and emotional battle. And then, of course, you have Roncalli versus Chittard, and these folks have not played in a sectional for many years. In fact, it's the first time since the year 2000 that they played in a sectional. Now, Chittard did play Roncalli earlier this season, and they won 35-20. So I think you're going to see Chittard win this game, but I think Roncalli obviously has improved over the course of the season. But if you want to see some emotion, you want to see some passion, you want to see some good, hard-hitting high school football, I think you might want to take a look at Sectional 21 and Sectional 22 if you're just a general football fan. You also have, in 23, you have Columbus East, who's 11-0. Shelbyville's coming to Columbus East, and we've talked all year about Columbus East running back, and he's very good. So I don't think there's really going to be any upsets as I see it in four. You know, if you move on to the 3A in Section 30, it's kind of interesting. Gary and Catholic really struggled this year. You know, they're 4-7, and they're at Indian Creek, who's 9-2. But you know, Gary, and that could be one of the upsets. I think that Gary and Catholic could make a move there against Indian Creek, and then kind of the kind of the upstart of the year in 3A is Brebeuf Jesuit. Tri-West is going to play at Brebeuf. Their head coach, Mick Ressler, is in his first year, and he's kind of living a charmed life. So I exchanged emails with him, and he's kind of he's an interesting guy to talk to. And this morning he said it's either hardwood or hardware tonight, Coach. So I thought you'd appreciate that basketball information there. But that's kind of how he motivates his football team, and he's good with the quip. But that's going to be a good football game, and because it's at Brebeuf, I think they have a really good opportunity to win that. The other interesting game in 3A is Fort Wayne Lures, who has great tradition. They're in the sectional championship, Coach. They're 2-9. They've won two football games this year. And they play Fort Wayne Concordia. So that's going to be kind of fun to watch and see what happens there. But you've got to give those kids credit for never giving up. Class 2A, in this area, you have Speedway at Ritter. And those are just two backyard high schools. You know, they're almost butt up against each other physically. Speedway's 8-3. Ritter's 9-2. Ritter has that really fine quarterback. Speedway has the great wide receiver that's going to Notre Dame. I think you'll probably end up seeing Speedway get that out just because that wide receiver can make a couple plays. And he's going to be very, very difficult to stop. You have the perennial power, Cecina, who moved up to 2A. They're 9-2, and they're playing at Shenandoah, so that'll be fun to watch to see how that works out. When you move down to the Class 1A, not quite as many teams that folks probably hear of, but in the Indianapolis area, you have Indianapolis Lutheran, who over the last couple years have kind of put together some traditions. South Putnam is playing at Indianapolis Lutheran. You also have Eastern Hancock at Northeastern. I don't really see many upsets in this area. You probably go with the teams that have kind of had the better record. Clinton Prairie's 5-6. They play at Tri-Central. Tri-Central's 10-1. South Putman's at Indianapolis Lutheran, but South Putman's 10-1, Lutheran 7-4. So I think those are going to kind of fall to where everyone suspects. So I would just bring us back to really the I think the focus this week is the 4A sectional championships with Mount Vernon at New Pau and Ron Colley at Chittard. I think that's where you're going to find all the emotion, all the passion, and all the good high school hard-hitting football games tonight.
Well, I don't want to leave without mentioning, you have your son on the Cathedral team. Is he feeling good? Is he feeling healthy? Is that Cathedral team ready to go?
Well, thanks for asking. Yes, Zach's healthy. I think the entire Cathedral football team is healthy. They've been able to escape the last two games without any nicks and bruises. Terry McLaren, the wide receiver, if folks just love to watch great athletes, you should come and watch Terry. Zach, I think Anderson plays cover too, so maybe we'll see if Zach has some seam passes, some dump passes. I think everybody's trying to get in and out of this Anderson game with no nicks and bruises because things are going to, obviously over the next 2 weeks, things are going to step up. But I think it should be a good day for Cathedral. It's interesting because Cathedral, as your listeners know, got bumped up to 5A, and everybody wants to kind of see, does this kind of system work? And we'll see what it does to Cathedral, and we'll see what it does to 5A.
Well, before we let you go, just so everybody knows, you're an Ohio guy originally. You're an Ohio State Buckeye man. The Buckeyes, they got a little gift last night with Stanford beating Oregon, the vaunted Oregon offense shut down, although Baylor got a big win against Oklahoma. I got to believe the Ohio State Buckeyes feel pretty good this morning, especially the way they've been playing, and now with an Oregon loss, kind of puts them in a position to hopefully move up a little bit.
Well, it sure looks like things have been kind of set up for them. I thought it was interesting that Oregon-Stanford went ahead and played on a Thursday night. I would have thought that could have been an ABC game on Saturday night, but maybe the money was right, and then that's why they did it. But Stanford, they've really put together a good football team there. Their offensive coordinator is a good friend of several of ours, Mike Bloomgren. He kind of stepped right in for Pep Hamilton, who is now the offensive coordinator for the Indianapolis Colts. So I think Stanford is a team to be reckoned with. That was a tough loss for Oregon, but yeah, it kind of sets up Urban Meyer and his Buckeyes, but they need to take care of business. So I think it's good for college football for some of these teams to get bumped around a little bit. You know, as a quick aside, it is kind of amazing. Urban hasn't lost in Columbus yet. You know, since the day he got hired, he's still undefeated. So, those guys need to keep their nose to the grindstone, and it'll be interesting to kind of watch them over the rest of the course of the season.
And probably the last thing, I promise it'll be the last thing, but I just got to touch. I'm still reeling from last weekend and the Hoosiers battling their way back in a position to, at worst, tie with a field goal inside the 10. A strange play call. Of course, I wasn't on the sidelines. I don't know what was actually called. I don't know what the decision was made. But it seemed like a strange play call to kind of flip that ball out there when there were so many other things that they could have done, which would have had a less of an impact if it didn't work. I just felt like I saw the air come out of this season for the Hoosiers. I could be totally wrong. Maybe they'll pull off some games coming up. But this is a team that still hasn't learned how, in my opinion, to get it done. They know how to get back there. They know how to get there to end the game. They just don't know how to get it done at the end.
Well, I think that's well said. I think I left that game thinking several things, and the very first thing that I thought of as the clock went to zero was they just don't know how to win yet, and that's not a shot at them. They've just lost for so long, and they just don't know how to win. And I think that's frustrating and maddening and sad. And I being a former coach, and you don't really want to second guess, but I don't know what the heck they were thinking when they threw that football. They're putting that kid out on air to make, I got to believe they were thinking, okay, we have a good athlete, let's put him on air and go one-on-one. But goodness gracious, I mean, you better make sure your Jimmy's better than their Joe. And he sure as heck wasn't in that situation. And then it just went all to the heck in a handbasket when the ball went backwards rather than forward. And it was a fumble. And, oh, goodness gracious, it was very disheartening. I think, though, number three, what we're going to figure out this week is, as you know, Coach Wilson's talked a lot over the last couple of years about mental toughness. So I think now we're really going to see, has Coach Wilson infused and indoctrinated these kids with mental toughness? If they come back and play tough and are physically successful on the football field over the next couple of weeks, then, okay, I might buy in that they're going to be really mentally tough. If things fall apart, then it may be a situation where everything needs to start over.
Well, it's just such a difficult thing. When I look at it from a coaching standpoint, you've got a construction project on defense. You've got a beautiful look to the outside with the offense just looks solid. But all the effort it took mentally, emotionally, to get yourselves back, and I just think about, you know what, it's like a free throw. Hey, if we just hit one free throw, we tie this thing up in basketball. If they hit a field goal, at worst, we settle for a field goal with a pretty good kicker, we tie this thing up. I'm like a lot of Hoosier fans, very surprised. On the other hand, as a coach, you know, maybe they practiced this play so many times it should have been automatic, or maybe it just didn't get relayed on the floor or the field the way it should have. I don't know. But I got to tell you, Bill, before I let you go, it was disheartening as a Hoosier fan.
It was. And, well, we wish the best of luck to the Hoosiers and hope those kids are mentally tough, and we hope they bounce back. And that's all we can expect out of them at this point, and the chips will fall where they may in December.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a Coach Wilson fan. I think we're going where we need to. We got to fill some spots, like you said earlier, and we just got to make that right decision. I don't know that it's a gunslinger's mentality. It just didn't turn out the way everybody would have hoped it would, especially on the sideline. Hey, Bill, thanks a lot for being with us. We'll be talking to you soon, talking about regionals and whatever else we got down the road.
Take care, Coach, and good luck to all your listeners over the course of the next week, and enjoy high school football.
Good luck to your son tonight and Cathedral. Hope good things happen for you on the field. We will go to break. When we get back, we're going to be talking with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. And, yes, you've guessed it, we'll be talking IU football. We'll be talking IU basketball. Of course, they open up with Chicago State this weekend. And we'll be talking a little bit about the James Blackman recruiting. But, of course, the call, the situation in that football game will definitely come up in the conversation. We're going to break, and you are listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Man, firecrackers. You stick them in mailboxes, you drop them in toilets, you shove them up bullfrogs' ass.
I would never do that, because I'm going to be a veterinarian.
Well, there you go. Someone shoves an M80 up a bullfrog's butt, blows him to pieces. He comes back to you to fix it. You win twice, brother. It's good biz.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and you're talking with the coach, Coach Ken Schulteis. Our next guest is one of our favorites, Mike Pegram from Pegs.com and Rivals.com, and we're going to talk a little bit of football, basketball, maybe a little bit of recruiting if we can get it in. Mike, great to have you on the show today.
Hey, I'm glad to be back, Coach. Enjoy it every time.
Well, we enjoy you every time. I know you've had a busy time. You had the media day up for the Big Ten basketball team, and then we had the Minnesota homecoming game in football, a lot going on, the Blackman, James Blackman Jr. signing, a lot going on with IU athletics up in Bloomington.
Yeah, we're what we call the overlap time when we got Hoosier football and basketball going on simultaneously. You got a basketball game tomorrow followed by a football game, and next weekend we have three of those in 3 days. So it's a fun time, busy time, but great to be a fan.
Yeah, and it helps when you're this busy, but you love what you're doing, and I know you love what you're doing and who you're doing it for with the Hoosiers. You know, Mike, a lot let's just go right into football, and I know the banter that's probably been going on in Bloomington and around the state, and Coach Wilson and the last play call in the Minnesota game, and I do want to talk a little bit about that, but one thing that I want to start with on the positive side is that here are the Hoosiers. They go into this homecoming game. It is a big game for this football team. I think it's a big game not only for the season, the potential of a bowl, but to see where this team has come and where this program has gotten to. We get behind, and we put on a furious rally in the second half, and we're right there taking the lead. I thought this team, before we get to that last few seconds, I thought this team showed a lot of grit, a lot of maturity as far as being able to buckle it up, not panic, and find a way to get back in the game.
Yeah, I mean, they got the offense rolling, but they also ran several stops in a row on the defensive end, and really was the best stretch of football this year, I think, even maybe better than what they played against Penn State in that victory. You know, it was a really good second half for this team.
This has been a team that we go into games, and most of us feel like we're going to score points. Most of us feel like the Hoosiers are going to put points on the board. And I think the biggest concern, and if you understand my comment here, is the pressure comes that we always have to outscore the other team. Now, obviously, to our listeners, we know that you have to score more than your opponent, but there's a difference between scoring the points and having to outscore the other team every week. It just seems like there's a tremendous amount of pressure put on that offense, although the defense at times, as you just mentioned, have gotten some big stops, allowed that offense to get back on the field with a little more rest and a little more focus in order, not just trying to score to stay in the game, but trying to run an offense to take the lead and win the game.
Yeah, the offense, you know, if they do stumble just a little bit, it's almost like Indiana loses the game at that point. In several of the games, you know, especially, you know, the Michigan game is the worst example. But, you know, they score enough points. Indiana's one of the top teams in the country in scoring points, but yet sits there at 3-5 and one conference victory. I thought that's, you know, that's the state of their defense right now.
You know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I mean, I was up there. I was truly disappointed. And you know, being a coach, even though a different sport, you run plays, you practice, you do them over and over and over again in practice. And a lot of times a fan may not understand the call in the game, may not understand why would you risk a play like that. And you know, I'm a fan as well as a coach. But I know coaches say, you know, we've run these plays over and over and over again. Our guys know what to expect. We know where we're supposed to be. We know how the pitch is supposed to go, all those things. Mike, when you look at the last offensive possession of that game, the lateral, I know that was a disheartening finish to that game. I know Coach Wilson talked about, you know, it takes responsibilities for that call, the offensive coordinator, they take responsibility. Are the fans making too much of the call, or is it just that the fact that it just didn't go the way it was supposed to go?
Well, I mean, it's a lot of that. I'm not going the way it was supposed to go. But I do think you have to have a collection of safer plays to run when you're inside the 10 in the final minute of a ball game. You have to maybe throw out a couple higher-risk calls. And that one, you know, throwing the ball on the flat, my opinion was they made a mistake both in calling the play and not reading the defense and going with a little bit of a risky play that obviously showed how risky it was and turning into a lateral. I mean, I even Coach Wilson immediately said it was the wrong call. And I think he meant it wasn't – that kind of play just wasn't right in that situation. If they're going to throw the ball, it should be over the middle. It should be, well forward, probably into the end zone. And they also had the opportunity with the timeouts that they had left to run the ball. And they were running the ball really well because there had been so much pressure on the defensive backs of Minnesota. And so they really, you know, the table was set maybe to run the ball well too.
You know, and your point is well taken, and I think that's how most of us feel. And it kind of, it's just kind of disappointing for the fan side of me who says, you know, you're at home, you've got the ball, you're in a position to score. At worst, you kick a field goal and tie the score. You've got a pretty good kicker. It just seemed like I was hoping in the beginning that it was a mistake, that somebody got the call wrong. It was disappointing. I really felt leaving the stadium and watching the IU fans that had stuck around to watch the comeback, there was just this feeling of how did this happen and where are we really sitting at? Does this team, in your opinion, and right now we're just talking opinions, does this team have the mental toughness to come back and try to finish this season as strongly as they can, take away the positives, and can Coach Wilson get them to put the negative behind and just focus on getting better and finding ways to win?
Yeah, this team has bounced back pretty well from past losses, you know, but the schedule does not set up for them now to have a winning record. I think that they can win their final two home games starting Saturday with Illinois and then with Purdue in the finale. And that would get them to 5-6, which is a game better than last year. Not what I think Indiana fans were hoping for, but I suppose would be a small step. I don't know, but with the winning with games at Ohio State and Wisconsin, I just don't know if they're ready for that environment and those kind of bigger body teams, that more power teams, I should say. You know, but I do think the mental state of the team was decent. I like what we've heard from the players on our availability this week. I do think that they will bounce back mentally.
Yeah, and when I look at this team, I don't know if we've underachieved, but we certainly have let some opportunities get past us. I think when you look back at the schedule, Missouri ended up being a much better team than most of us thought they would be. Maybe not you, but most of us thought they would be. Navy, of course, has played people strong and much better than maybe we thought they would. And to be in a position to beat Penn State and then to have Minnesota on the ropes, it's just deflating in a way, because I don't think, and this is my opinion, Mike, I don't think the Big Ten, top to bottom, is that strong this year. And I thought if this was a time IU could kind of break through to that upper half, so to speak, this was the time to do it.
Yeah, unless they pull a miracle in those two road games we just talked about, that what happened on Saturday is an absolute killer for that team and the program, because so much would have happened. I mean, they would have set themselves up for postseason. Really was the game, the make-or-break game, maybe, unless they really, really play well at Wisconsin or Ohio State and get a break, because, you know, the other games, you know, they lost, and it wasn't coming down to a final play or two. I know the Michigan game was disappointing because they were right there, but their defense was so awful that day. I don't think Indiana deserved to win that game. But this was the game they had, yeah. This is the game they actually, I think, played well enough to win and didn't. And that happened a lot last season. But this is really the first time this year that they really gave one away in a way. And because of the record and the way the schedule and everything is set up, that was the one they couldn't let that happen.
Well, to give them credit, they did make a great charge to come back in that game and put themselves in a position to win. But from the coaching perspective, on my side, it is good teams learn how to then win those games, and especially at home. And it was a tough loss. Let's switch over to basketball. And I know most people in Indiana, cold weather's coming in. They're hearing the bouncing of the basketballs, and that's where we're at. I've got a big question to ask you. I know that you are tuned in on what goes on with Indiana basketball with the Hoosiers from start to finish, recruiting to practice to whatever is going on. It's kind of seems quiet right now. Is this a cautious optimism or a cautious concern that people are feeling about this upcoming season for Coach Green and this team?
It's a mix of everything. I think there's just not a lot of people really don't know about this group, but I do think they have some cautious optimism because there's raw talent there, and they see it in the few first couple of viewings. Long and athletic team, but you know, so much shooting has been lost, and so you know, so much excitement and experience has been lost that I think they're bracing themselves for a slow start, but optimistic that by the middle of the Big Ten season, this could be a pretty good team, the kind of team that might be able to upset some of the upper echelon teams in the league.
And when we talk about the Hoosiers, and I think our listeners need to realize, we're talking about a team that lost two key players that would be back this year. And when I say they lost more than that, but two key players in Oladipo and Zeller who would actually be back. So you're not dealing with graduation. You're dealing with guys that were talented enough, at least in the minds of the experts on the NBA level, to leave early, and you create that void. And a lot of programs have dealt with that down the line, but even one of the most recent ones that lost such great talent a couple years ago was Kentucky. And they did not fare very well in that next year. And I don't know what they're going to be like this year. There's cautious optimism there and concern, too. But this Hoosier team has had a freshman class that came in last year, Yogi Ferrell among them. Some of the young talent did not come along maybe the way it should have. What are we looking at with these sophomores other than Yogi this year? Have these guys developed their game? Have you seen some maturity? Have you seen them step up to the level it's going to take to be not just contributors but successful on this Big Ten season?
Yeah. A simple case is Yogi Ferrell's shooting the ball much better. That was an issue for him last year, though he had some great shooting moments in high school. You know, he struggled from beyond the arc last year, and it cost him against Syracuse and in some other games. Not a big deal most of the year because of the presence of Jordan Halls and Christian Wofford and the way Victor shot the ball last year. But now they need him to shoot, score, and to give him that missing perimeter game. And he had 6 threes in the exhibition game, and I think two or three on Monday. And he just looks a lot more confident with his shots. That's important. We're hearing great things about Will Sheehy's leadership, and he's looked solid. Came out with 2 big threes early in the second half to turn that one into a blowout on Monday. I think Jeremy Hollowell got the start on Monday, which is a good sign. They like his versatility. He's handling the ball a lot out top, kind of can play almost every position for this team. So and Hunter Free is playing much better. Hunter's shooting the ball a little bit and just looks more comfortable out there. So the guys that are back look new and improved and obviously stronger with the weight programs that they have nowadays. So, you know, add the youth, the talent that they have. And I really like what I've seen, I guess, in the development stage of the guys that come back.
One person that is mentioned quite a bit, we haven't heard a lot of it from listeners wanting to know, Peter Jerkin. What's been his progress and where does he look to fit in this season?
At this point, I'm not terribly optimistic about Peter because he's missed some practice time because he had to go back to see his father. I don't know exactly the details, but he missed some really key practice time. He's still not healthy with that leg. He's got a big protective splint wrap or whatever you want to call it on his shin from his stress fracture issue. And he just he's hitting a couple jumpers here and there. But I would look for Luke Fisher to kind of earn more of those minutes at the five position along with Noah Vonleh. And for him to go with a little bit smaller guys up front like Hollowell and Troy Williams and guys who can maybe help play a little bit of a 3-4, you know, small and power forward kind of mini role there.
So this freshman class, this incoming freshman class that's there now, Vonleh, those guys are key to the success of this team during this season.
Yeah, and one of the things that's really surprised me with Noah Vonleh is that he has actually come in thicker and taller than what we saw in high school. And therefore, he is more ready, I think, to play inside than anybody really thought. And we always knew he was a rebounder. We knew he could take a ball off the glass and go to the end of the court with it. But he has been tremendous on the boards in both exhibition games and in the scrimmages and everything. He just looked terrific, and he also has a nice back-to-the-basket game. I think he's more of an inside presence and more of a helpful replacement for Cody than anticipated, until we really got a good look these last few weeks.
So let me ask you the critical question that I'm hearing from Hoosier fans around the state, and that is, you talk about Vonleh being more of an inside presence. Do we have the perimeter shooting to create the openings for that inside game?
Whew. That's a question I keep asking, and everybody says, yeah, we're doing a lot better. We did talk a few minutes ago about Yogi shooting the ball better, which helps in that regard. Jeremy Hollow can shoot a little bit from the outside, and a guy you can rely upon to hit some threes. But it's not going to be the same. This Indiana team last year was arguably the best shooting team in the nation. The last 2 years running, I think, was the best shooting team in the nation. So it's not going to be the same. They had a rare luck of having several guys that could really knock it down together. And Will Sheehy can shoot the ball. And these guys can shoot the ball. It's just not going to be. he's not going to be among the nation's leaders, but I do think that they can find some guys to hit some threes, and they will have some moments from beyond the arc.
Well, this may set up well for Will Sheehy, who definitely likes to shoot first before he considers the other options.
Yeah.
And last thing, and we'll let you go, Mike. Speaking of shooters, IU had a commitment from James Blackman Jr. A couple years ago. He decommits. He does end up committing to IU on another ESPN press conference deal or whatever it was. Just quickly, your thoughts, one, how he contributes to IU, and two, what brought him back to the Hoosiers?
Well, I think he committed too early. I mean, that's not really going on a limb there. And the grass started looking greener on the other side, or you know how it is.
Sure.
The other girl looks prettier for some reason after you've been dating for a while. And being uncommitted for the summer kind of brought back some of the perspective and brought back some of the reasons that he committed to Indiana in the first place. I think he was needed by Indiana. We just talked about how they have a little bit of a shooting void. Well, that's what James does. He shoots the ball prolifically from the outside. And I think he saw a role there, a role maybe to play a little bit of point guard down the road when Yogi graduates. And being closer to home, I think there was a good relationship that his mother had with the coaching staff that really helped in the end. And he obviously had time to develop ties with the coaches over when you commit before you even play the high school game. He's been down here so much, and that, I think, played a factor in the end. Kentucky was the other school he seriously considered, and they picked up a commitment from a guard just before James made his decision. I don't know if that really affected him, but they're so loaded there. There may have been some, you know, thoughts about how much time he would earn there, but he has a good fit for what Indiana has on the roster.
Well, I'm glad the Hoosiers ended up with him. I always wondered from the beginning if maybe committing too soon was a problem, and then with social media out there and these players, recruits talking to each other, and then, like you said, maybe the other girl looked a little prettier, and maybe when he found, maybe he found the interest of the other little girl wasn't as great as what he thought it was. It brings me to the last thing, and I promise I'll let you go. Does this talk a little bit to maybe we're asking these guys to make a commitment too soon?
Yeah, I think you've seen Indiana back off a little bit from that. I think they are still offering scholarships early, but not really encouraging kids to commit or maybe talking them out of it to a certain degree. I mean, I'm not sure that if they probably could have landed a commitment from James' brother, BJ, last year. But I think they weren't really ready for that. And even though I think they did formally offer a scholarship, that's been put on the back burner. And I think that they have kind of learned a small lesson, but are still as aggressive as ever with starting relationships young with prospects. So you know, there has been a small change, but it's in terms of there are kids, I mean, that are out there that are pretty young that they would take a commitment from, I think, but I don't know that they're really going to go for that anymore. As early as they did with Trey Lyles and James Blackman before they actually played a game even in high school.
Well, great stuff once again, Mike. I encourage our listeners, get over to Pegs.com. He'll let you browse the site a little bit, but you're going to join it because if you want to know what's going on with IU athletics, recruits, kids around the country, the rivals' top picks, you got to go to Pegs.com. Mike, thanks again for being with us. We're getting ready to go to break. Joe will bring us back. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
No, man, but you got to keep going. What am I going to do, quit? That's not an option. You got to keep on keeping on. Life's a garden, dig it. You make it work for you. You never give up, man. That's my philosophy. You hear that in there?
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
It's not the U.S. Postal mailbag. It's not the Joe mailbag. It's the Coach K mailbag.
New York and New Jersey love Coach K. Go Hoosiers! Coach K speaks the truth! Woo!
Now here is Coach K and Joe with this week's Coach K's mailbag.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe show, and it's time for the Coach K mailbag. Coach, you ready for the questions?
I'm absolutely ready for the questions. I know we've got about 15 minutes left on the show. I've actually got a couple that have been texted to me as well, Joe, so maybe we'll take turns or something like that. And I also wanted to let you know that Janet Schulteis, my wife, texted me and said, we're sounding good, show's going well. Of course, she's an Edward Jones financial advisor here in the state of Indiana, so if you got some money you need to make some money on, give her a call. Let's get after it, Joe.
Okay, first question is, why would the IHSA put an Evansville officiating crew on the Southridge versus Modern Day game? What a joke. What's your opinion?
I've got to believe that this is coming from someone in DuBois County. I don't like it. I'll tell you why. Since I've been in Evansville, I've found that the coaches, especially the longtime coaches, are very connected with a lot of the people who are officiating. They're either teachers in the school systems. They've been around for a long time. I think they're all on the up and up. I think they're first-class officials. But I do think that I don't like it either. I would rather them bring somebody in that has no connection with either school or the significant area that they are in. I don't know why they do it. But they rate, I will say this, Joe, they rate these crews throughout the year. Coaches rate them. They're monitored by IHSA review officials that come down and watch them. And they obviously were one of the top-rated crews, and they feel like that they can be, impartial and do a great job, and I'm sure they will.
Okay. You want to ask a question now?
I got a question here from Tim. He's from the Montgomery area, so you can imagine what it's about. He says, Coach K, what do you think about Barive's chances in the state finals in volleyball? Well, Barive, small school over in Davis County, they will be playing Lafayette Central Catholic in the state volleyball finals for their class. They are 37-2. And, Joe, I think Liz actually, during a summer camp, got to play against this volleyball team from Barive. I think they did. And, Tim, I'm going to tell you what. Lafayette Central Catholic's got a great tradition. They play a tough schedule up in that area. But I am going to go out, and I'm going to say the Barive Vikings are going to win a state championship. And it could be a prelude to the boys' basketball season.
I'll tell you what, Liz said that they do things the right way up there. You know, they get them started young. Their feeder system is a direct result of their success in high school. They do a great job with the program, and that's what she's wanting to emulate right there, a total program, and that's what they've done. Okay, I've got a question. Oh, and hopefully, you know, I might head up there if Glenn at Stop and See has free fish sandwiches after the state championship. I'm going to go to Montgomery and celebrate with a fish sandwich, I think. Tell you what. Just my little endorsement. Okay, next question. We had quite a few people that responded to yours and Chris Goodman's segment in 99.9 up in West Southridge, but here's one of them. What makes you and Chris Goodman discount Southridge so much in this game against Modern Day?
Well, it's not that I have anything negative towards Southridge. I think Southridge has a great tradition and a great program. The reason I have concerns, folks, is Southridge's previous, actually their three previous games, they have not played particularly well. They were very fortunate to get out of the Tell City game with a win. North Posey was a struggle for them, and I have been able to see Modern Day play a couple times. They are really a solid team, and they play solid competition all year long. They've got outstanding offensive skill players. They've got big defensive and offensive lines. That's why I'm saying it. I'm certainly not saying that Southridge couldn't pull this game off, but I believe the last three sectional final games have been at Southridge, and it has not gone well for the Raiders, and that's why I don't think Chris and I think it'll go well for them this time. We just think that Modern Day has too much on both sides of the ball.
I'll tell you, you know, I'm not sure. I've got a soft spot in my heart for the Raiders. I coached there for quite a few years. And I'll tell you what, the one thing Modern Day hasn't seen, I mean, Southridge has had some great players, but the one thing they've not seen in years past is someone of the caliber of Connor Craig. He's had a phenomenal year, and, you know, they've got a really good group of seniors. So, you know, who knows? It'd be great to have two sectional championships celebrated tonight in DuBois County.
And Joe, don't get me wrong. I love what Southridge has done with their football program the past decade plus. I mean, and the facilities they've put together. Mr. Bardwell has done a great job over there as athletic director. The coaching staffs have done a great job. You know that even though I am as competitive as can be when it comes to Southridge athletics because of being with my Jasper background, I do have great respect for the Raiders program. I just have seen Modern Day, and I just think that they haven't seen the Connor Craigs, but yet they have. They've seen the running backs from Central. They've seen the running backs from Bossy. They've seen some pretty solid running backs out there, and I think they're just going to be too strong for Southridge in that game.
Now, I did get a text from our Indy contributor, Don Schulteis, and Don thinks that Modern Day is the best team in Southern Indiana, no matter what class. That's what his text said.
He may very possibly be right, but I'll tell you what, if the Raiders pull this off, I'll probably drive up to Southridge or up to Huntingburg and have a cold one, whether that's beer or Coke, I don't know, but it'll be a cold one. In fact, Joe, we ought to meet over there. Where do you hit after the games? The YMI? Is that where they hit after the games and a victory?
Oh, yeah. YMI, Gaslight, Overtime, they're –
Oh, yeah, Coach Duncan's Overtime, absolutely. Well, you know what? If Southridge pulls that off, I may be up there.
There might be a party right on 4th Street. So.
Let's go to the next one.
Okay, did you have another one?
I have a quick one. I got a Jayhawk on Twitter. He said, Coach K, I do not think Kyrie Irving of the Cavaliers is a top 10 point guard in the NBA. He doesn't know how to finish as far as involving his teammates. Jayhawk, I've got to tell you, I think that's absurd. He absolutely is a top 10 point guard. You play with what you're dealt, the cards you're dealt. And he doesn't have a whole lot of guys that he could get the ball to finish the play. Therefore, he has to try to finish it himself. Will he mature as time goes on? Yes. Will he learn that he has to give that ball up a little more? Yes. But I'll tell you what, you have a lot more confidence when you have somebody to give it up to. And I'm sure Coach Mike Brown will help him to learn that going forward. But he is a top 10 point guard, and that was absurd.
Okay, next question comes to us from Jim from Santa Claus. After last week's crazy play call at the end of the IU game, do you think the Hoosiers still have a chance at a bowl game?
No, I don't. I think the loss to Minnesota, I am hoping above hope. And believe me, being in athletics, I've seen some incredible finishes to seasons. I've seen some outstanding things happen. I just think that IU's defense is so suspect. When you are in a position to win a game like they were with Minnesota, you have to seal the deal, because they had a couple of losses earlier in the year that a lot of people, including myself, thought would be wins. They have to win out on the they have to win on the road, Joe. And for every Hoosier fan, we know how tough it is. Now, The upside is that the Big Ten isn't, in my opinion, other than Ohio State, isn't as strong. But Wisconsin, I mean, IU has to win this weekend, absolutely. They can beat Purdue, but I don't know. I just don't see it, but I hope it happens.
Well, you know, a lot of people talk about Coach Wilson's play call and, you know, and that we'll call it the play. But, you know, the Hoosiers had taken the lead, and if the defense could have just put together a stop, you know, that play may never have come to fruition anyways.
Oh, Joe, I agree with you 100%. The opportunity was there before, and you got to get a stop. But you do come down to, Joe, and you play the percentages as a coach. And I'm not saying that they just didn't see something. At least they thought they saw something that they went with this type of play. But I guess from my standpoint would have been, at worst here, we're going to tie with a field goal. Let's just play tough. Let's go with our strength, which is if we're going to throw the ball, we're going to throw it towards the corners or deep across the backside of the end zone. Or Roberson or whoever else try to punch that ball in. But I just thought it was a tough play call. I still like what Coach Wilson is doing. I think in some ways we've been so strong offensively, which I told you at the beginning of the year we would be, that we've just kind of teased the IU fans. And our defense is just not there yet. I don't think it's necessarily coaching as much as it is personnel. But, boy, would I love to see the Hoosiers get bowl eligible and get to a bowl. But this Minnesota win coupled with a Penn State win and then go on to become bowl eligible, now you're talking about a decent bowl, not a toilet bowl like Purdue's played in the last few years.
Yes, but they did play a bowl. But I've got one last question I've got left, and that comes from John Bots Magic Bodorf out of Jasper, a great contributor question-wise to us. And we've kind of touched on this already, but we'll go ahead and ask it since Bots asked the question. There are still untold stories regarding the Miami Dolphins fiasco. What is your take on the situation? I know we've already touched on this, but I did want to ask John's question.
Well, first of all, we love Bots, and we appreciate his question, and he's got a lot. He loves athletics, and he loves the inside of it. As we said earlier, Joe, I don't like this. It smells on both sides. I don't think we understand the emotional state of Martin, the player in question, as far as being bullied. I don't even know where the term bullying came out in all this. This is National Football League. These guys are big, sloppy, nasty, tough. They get paid a lot of money. I got to tell you, I take any workplace in America, from office to digging ditches to laying cable, whatever it might be, you're not going to always have people that get along. You're not always going to have people that are proper in how they act. You've got people splashed all over the newspapers and are put up as great people to follow who are stealing, who are cheating, not only in their work but in their personal lives, whatever that might be. So it's not always what is being reported. Did Incognito step across the line? He might have. Did he use terms that people say are not proper, and they're not? But we don't know if this was done in fun. And, Joe, you and I both know that over the years as we've grown up in workplace relationships, people have used terms with us in conversation that if somebody heard it, they would be just appalled by it. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe he said that to him. And we know that it's more of a joke or it doesn't make it right. But it's not in the demeaning manner that they might think it is. Should Incognito used those types of terms? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But we all say things. Sometimes we just don't read the situation correctly. We think that it is much more relaxed and the other person isn't relaxed with it. So we have those problems. But this is NFL football, guys, and I don't think we know the whole story. And I am going to say what I said earlier in the show, Joe. I am disappointed that the media outlets like Mike and Mike, especially Mike Greenberg, who's never played that kind of a sport, runs with this stuff, makes issue of it, puts him on trial, is ready to put him away, and he really doesn't have a true concept of everything. Let's see how it really shakes out. We got 1 minute to go. What do we got, Joe?
That was my last question.
Well, it's a great show, Joe. We want to thank our guest, Tom, Chris Goodman, Mike Pegram from Pegs.com. He was awesome. Michael Lewis, good luck to Butler. Purdue plays this weekend. Kentucky, Michigan State, you name it. Good luck to the Wildcats, to the Raiders this weekend, and the Bar Even Volleyball and the Evansville schools. I won't name them because I don't want to have any problem between Jasper and Southridge, sure. But be a fun night for families, fans, and friends as they watch Football Friday play out.
Well, Coach, another great show, and we will get another great show prepared for next week, and hope you and Janet and Josh and Scott and hey, have a great weekend. Okay.
Good luck to Reed in the game. I know he might have some injury situations, but he's still part of the team. Good luck to the Wildcats. Take us home,
okay,
Joe.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot for Coach K and for Joe. You've been listening to the Coach K and Joe Show. See you next week.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Ubelar & Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. See you next week.